doing it now.
What's up, Zo?
How you doing?
Celtics won last night.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Wonder why.
Only happens about half the time now. How about that? A little turnaround last night for the Boston Celtics. All because they tweaked the starting lineup.
Oh, pepping or stepping.
Yeah, all because they tweaked the starting lineup.
Mm.
I know what the green team reaction today is going to be.
What's up?
Oh, it's fixed. It's all good. It's all fixed now. Look, tweaked the lineup. Oh, they just needed that balance. Oh, defensively, offensively, in their starting lineup. All they had to do was just put Marcus Smart in, put Marcus Morris in there. Boom. Fixed.
Mm.
Fixed. That's what it's going to be. Now, not to take anything away from what they did last night, but I'm not buying that yet. I'm not buying that after one game of this, that this is like the fixed everything that's going on there.
No, but what it does do, you know, going back to that, you know, is there an issue between Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart? Maybe you had the wrong players picked there.
Yeah, maybe.
Goes to show you that maybe there isn't now. Maybe he likes playing with him and wants him in that starting five. Maybe it's an issue with another player, like we talked about yesterday. Hey, it's good for Marcus Smart. I mean, he's a grinder. And I was talking to Jim before the show. I'm like, would you compare him? He's obviously not Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley can score. But Avery Bradley would play his ass off on defense, and he was your number one defender. You know, Marcus Smart's one of those dirty grinder-type players that maybe gives you a little more energy in that starting five where you have too many polished guys across the front. You know, five guys that are all high-end guys that want the ball, that want to score, but maybe not play the type of defense and play with the type of intensity that Marcus Smart plays with.
Here's what I do know. They were getting killed by guards. Killed by some of them that weren't even good. Not even good players. They were just getting crushed by guards all year long. And Marcus Smart in the starting lineup fixes that issue. I mean, you saw it last night.
Yeah.
Holiday was turning the ball over left and right, it felt like. So that to me is, that's a marked, easy to look at, say, well, that's going to be a lot better because of this. Because Marcus Smart is in the lineup. Would you leave him in the lineup for every game going forward?
No, but I'd move him in and out. Absolutely.
I think
it's going to be a rotating sit guy. I mean, it's not like it's going to be, we're going with this one fixed starting five. It's going to be about flow. It's going to be about how you like playing with this guy against certain matchups. Is it a guard-heavy team? Is it a post-forward team? You know, I think you're going to be able to change that throughout the course of the year. But as of right now, yeah, keep it going for now until something happens. Until he misses, you know, four threes in a row. And then you sit his ass down. Then you bring him off the bench.
Well, this is sort of my question about this. If he's in the starting lineup, is he still going to be allowed to shoot the way that he's always been allowed to shoot? Every time we've ever asked,
you have to.
We've ever asked Brad Stevens about Marcus Smart shooting. He's like, yeah, I want him to keep shooting.
Never pass up an open shot.
Like, do you want him to keep jacking up threes the way? I don't think that defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Doesn't that defeat the purpose of what you've got him in the starting lineup for?
Well, you got 52 mil now, and you know that's in the back of your head. Plus, he's one of those streaky shooters that can get hot. You're only going to get hot one way if you try it and start shooting.
All right, here's
the
other
issue. Worry about.
They hit open shots last night, which they haven't been doing.
Right.
Okay, they had fast break points. They hit open shots. These are things they haven't been doing. Those are things that I think are helped by turnovers. Those are things that are obviously helped by Marcus Smart being in the lineup, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just not. Listen, after one game, we'll see if it continues. I would keep him in the starting lineup, though. I would. I'd go with what I had last night. Now, the guy who I might go back and forth on is Marcus Morris a little bit, but he's playing really well so far. He's had a great year.
Yeah, he's really, one of your better
he's
players.
He's been probably your most consistent player this
most
year.
Most productive player, yeah.
And Al Horford showed up last night, too, by the way.
It's
in case you didn't
shots.
Notice that.
It's
he was sparked
shots.
By something last night because he came out and was aggressive from the get-go. So there are plenty of positive developments last night for the Celtics. You certainly feel better about them today than you did a day ago. I do. But I'm sort of taking the wait-and-see approach. It's been an up-and-down, inconsistent year for this team. Let's hear Brad Stevens post-game last night talking about his lineup tweaks and how it helped.
The decision to go with Marcus in the starting lineup, Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, what went into that call?
A lot, but you know, I think that you know they play small, so we were going to be better off matching up small with Mirotić, who ended up getting us anyways. But Marcus brings and Baines, they bring such a level of grit to our group, and I think that I wanted to see what that would look like with Marcus in the starting lineup. You know, we won't be settled on a starting lineup till forever.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I like that answer.
What?
I like that answer.
Oh, he's not committing to anything.
Yeah. You know, this is going to be a game to game, matchup to matchup. That's what I said. If you're going, if they're small, they play small. Yeah, he's in the game as your number one small defender. Isn't it interesting though that guys like Baines and Marcus Smart are required to be injected into your starting lineup to get the energy and grit out of the other guys, like an Al Horford? You know what I mean? So Al responds last night. Why'd he respond? It's not like he's hearing things. I mean, Al's been the same player since he's gotten here. So now all of a sudden he plays a little more aggressively because, or you know, attacks the rim, hits some big shots just because Marcus Smart's in the lineup. Is that an indicator for those other guys? Like, wow, Brad put Marcus in the lineup.
I don't know. Maybe
we better get our asses going.
I get what you're saying. The fact that there's another lineup tweak before a game, it finally is starting to get some attention.
You remember when Lucic was here?
Snapping them out of it.
Remember when Lucic was here and he'd kind of lumber and skate one skate to the other and he'd kind of float through things until you get Sagan up or you elevate somebody that could skate up with his line. And what's the dude gets his ass moving? It's funny how guys respond. You know, regardless of the sport, just by a little tweak here or there to the lineup.
A little
shake-up.
I got a theory outside of the lineup that might have sparked them. They're playing Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. All this trade rumors about Anthony Davis. Who's the big contract that people want to see go
if they
trade for him?
That would be Al.
A young guy
contract.
And Al, right? A young guy with talent and Al's contract.
Yeah,
that's
unload
what everyone
Al's
hears.
Money. Unload Al's $30 million a year if you don't mind.
Couple picks, a young guy and Al. It's always Al in that conversation. Maybe that got him going last night.
I love that theory. I do, but you know what
they can't do it in season. They can do it in the offseason, no. But still, yeah. His name's up there.
But you know what the problem is? He's not going to play Anthony Davis every night. So that's a problem. So what does he find for motivation his next game? If Anthony Davis was hit last night. Well, that's not good if that's true. Mm. It's not good. How do you get him going against, you know, Orlando?
The lineup has something to do with it, too. It's not like he's got to get Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown their shots. Those guys, Jaylen Brown's hurt. Gordon Hayward's on the bench. We don't have to get Marcus Smart's shots. Marcus Morris shoots anytime he touches the ball
anyways, he likes to shoot.
Like, I can play my game more with these guys in the lineup instead of I don't have to be the role guy, rebounder, defensive guy with these other offensive guys on the floor. I can be an offensive guy too.
And when you're hitting shots, all of this looks better. All of it does. The way it did last night, the way the Celtics hit shots, it just all looked better. And that's why I'm cautiously optimistic about where this goes. That's where I am. Cautiously optimistic. Celtics with Kyrie and Smart on the floor together last night. This stat courtesy of Chris Forsberg. 75 points scored in 26 shared minutes together on the court. The team shot 52.7% overall in that period. 61.9% from three. And they outscored the Pelicans by 17 in that 26-minute run. You know, that puts you on pace to win by like, you know, close to 30 points. That's like that is blowout game type of territory for the Celtics when they had those two guys on the court together last night. So maybe it's not so much the spark or the attention that it gets from other players. Maybe it's just a pure chemistry standpoint. Maybe last night's chemistry between those two, Kyrie and Smart, proves how wrong I was to suggest that there was an issue between the two of them.
That's my point, yeah. It's almost like
I was wrong.
These two guys are in line with each other, and this is it's a good thing for this team moving forward.
Do I need to apologize for that? I need to do the Jim Murray apologize?
No, you had a really
apologize.
You had a really good take, and
I think I was wrong.
You're trying to put the puzzle pieces together, and who talked about who, and who didn't mention who, and who had the outburst in the locker room?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I just, you know, I think Kyrie wants to go out and just play basketball and let that be the way he leads.
I'm glad I said it was wrong yesterday before they went out and played well together last night, by the way.
Jesus.
I picked the right day to choose the I am wrong, you know, tour on that. Get that out of the way.
You got the black shirt memo, though. That's good.
Yeah, we're all wearing black today.
Yeah. Going to funeral.
We all are. Jim's wearing black, too. He's got a black jacket on.
Jesus, Mr. Sports Hub.
Yeah. It's a nice jacket.
I learned to wear a jacket in the studio. It's a little chilly sometimes.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Celtics bounced back nicely last night with a win. A win that feels like they desperately needed. They desperately just need wins right now. And they get one last night, and things are looking up for them. So that's good. But are you fully buying in yet after one
game? No, it's one game.
Let's be cautiously optimistic. Let's not go crazy on it today. 617-779-0985. Tom Brady said something last night that might make you pessimistic. If you haven't heard Tom Brady from Jim Gray on Westwood One last night, you're going to hear it. Coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand, we're from Gillette Stadium today.
Welcome back to Monday Night Football. Time for our weekly conversation with Patriot quarterback Tom Brady. Tommy, how are you this evening?
I'm doing really well, Jim. Great talking to you. It's fun to talk to you after wins. I love doing it.
Well, yeah. Our last couple of weeks, you were sitting on that huge loss that you had come off of as you headed into the bye. A big win yesterday against the Jets. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Yeah. Tom, as always, is brought to you exclusively in the pregame by Macy's.
Talking to you after the wins. Jim, I love it.
He loves just like
what is with that?
Nothing like that on a 6:30, 7 o'clock on a Monday night. Can't wait for
obvious.
Can't wait for Jim Gray to call, man. It's always fun after.
He's totally playing us. He does that for fun. He knows that people think the interview's a little weird, and now he's doing stuff like this. He knows it.
I don't think
just love talking to you after wins, Jim.
Nope.
The best.
He doesn't know it.
Did you hear him talk about his knee in this interview? This is what we got to get to. Got to get to how he's feeling. Let's start rolling these clips. Go. Play.
Tom, you were sick the day before you played in the game against the Jets in New York, and then the 2 days before that, you missed practice. How is your general health, and what was the reason for you missing practice with your knee?
Yeah, I'm certainly doing better this week. We had, you know, the game against Tennessee where I got a little nicked up and then had the bye week and was hoping to have a full week of practice, and it just didn't allow for it. So I think a lot of NFL players are nursing things at this point. You know, I'm nursing a couple little things, and I'm feeling a lot better. A little flu's been going around, but I'm feeling better, and hopefully, you know, I really turn the corner with my knee here this week.
Couple little things. Well, I think that means knee.
Which one?
Hand, left.
Yeah? What's up with the right one?
I don't know.
Why is it all black and blue? What do you do to the right one?
Oh, you probably got hit on it.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
I was right during the broadcast.
There's no way it feels good.
They kept saying on the TV thing that they're treating the hand. I thought because the sock was down and he's usually got everything all covered up and the knee was exposed. They were treating something on the right side of it for right knee, the outside of the knee.
So they were doing
and the hand both at the same time.
Okay. Same time.
Was it left hand or right hand?
Right.
Yeah.
Throwing hand.
Right hand, right knee.
Because he was looking down at the pad that McDaniels had next to him. He had his right hand on the bench and his right knee right there, and they're treating both of them. Yeah.
Rubbing a little balm on the knee.
Tom?
Yeah, Tom?
Did you get that balm from Macy's? Yeah.
We have more. We have more to play, right? Yeah, let's play more of it.
When you say nicked up, is this something that only not playing football will heal, so every week this is suspect and prone because it just won't get the required rest? Or is this something that can heal during the season?
It can definitely heal, but I would say, you know, my take on injuries is, you know, you're really susceptible every time you go out. You can go out and you could be a little nicked up, and if you get hit again, it could make it worse. But the reality is you could wait for it to get fully healthy and then go out and take a hit and get hurt again. Really, you know, if I can play, you know, that's what I'm going to always prefer to do, and that's what I've always done, realizing that there are risks that come with playing when you're not fully healthy or things aren't fully healed, but, you know, that's just part of the nature of the game. And I think in many ways it would hurt me more to not be playing and watching than it would be to dealing with whatever I'm dealing with. So, you know, I love making the choice to play, and I'm glad we got a win against really a division rival. And playing in New York and winning there is always important for our team. So it's just a great team win.
He's making the choice to play.
I'm glad I made the choice to play. How about that with the report down in Tennessee that you already had that it was Gronkowski that chose not to play? Right? Made the trip to Tennessee. I thought you already had the report that it was Gronkowski
I didn't
chose.
I didn't see that report.
You guys didn't hear about that?
No,
Post-Tennessee?
I didn't see that report.
Mike Giardi had that.
He was choosing not to play?
I thought it was over Twitter that Gronk made the trip, but he chose not to play.
No, I didn't see that one. That would have been news.
I thought it was news.
Oh.
I thought we touched on that.
No, we did not.
Not on the air.
Nope. We can look. We'll double check.
Brady chose to play against the Jets.
Brady chose to play. He's making a conscious choice to play.
But Gronkowski said going into that, that's up to the coach to who plays. See,
all right.
You know what I mean?
All right. I'm just saying that.
That's
a rare statement to hear from Tom
Brady.
That
was as vanilla an answer you could give because everybody's nicked up this time of year. We're all playing through something. And, yeah, this maybe it doesn't get a chance to heal. But you know, I'd much rather be out there than watching. You know, and I'm glad I made the choice.
Like with injuries,
so,
you'd rather.
You think he's taking a shot at Gronk then? If Gronk chose not to play?
No, but it's just weird that both those guys in consecutive weeks use the word.
Well, I never heard Gronk hear the word chose or any. I didn't hear anybody use the word chose.
Check Giardi's Twitter. I mean, we could. I could even. You want, let's try and get him on.
Send him a text and see what he says.
All right.
If he reported that or not. That's going to be interesting if he didn't report that. That would be fun. But Brady, listen, Brady's played through everything forever. Of course he chooses to play through injury. Look at his career. The only time he's missed any real time for injury was when he tore his ACL. What else has he missed? What else has Tom Brady missed injury-wise coming out of the AFC Championship game in 2001? I mean, the guy doesn't miss time. He plays through everything. So, yeah, is it a choice? Yes. Has he ever told us it's a choice?
I got it right here. Giardi said Wednesday on NFL Network, last Wednesday,
wow,
that the expectation is the Patriots that Rob Gronkowski will play on Sunday. My understanding was that the Tennessee game was really up to Rob whether he played or not. So that was Wednesday, probably after we were off the air in Thanksgiving mode.
That one got buried.
Ah. Aha.
That one got buried.
That damn holiday.
So maybe it is. Why wouldn't it? Why couldn't that be a shot? Okay. Shot's too strong. It certainly displays a difference of attitude right now between the two. Brady, I always play through injury. I'm going to continue to play through injury. For me, it's better to play through than sit on the sideline. He just said to you in a lot of words that he doesn't like the idea of sitting out to get completely healthy, that you just got to get as healthy as you can be and you got to continue to play.
You got to find a way to go. He's sending a message. You got to find a way to fight.
Yeah, that's toughness. That's what toughness is.
What did Belichick say immediately post-game? Proud of the team. We got a lot of guys fighting through little things here and there, whether it's sicknesses, injury, you know, dealing with a lot of things. I thought Bill said that at the start of his press conference. And then here's Brady a day later piggybacking off that. Hey, all nicked up. Everybody's dealing with
something. So maybe they're not ripping them, but they're trying to send a message to the team. Guys, this is the time of year that you play through everything because we need to. Because we need to keep playing.
You don't think the quarterback needs the tight end? You see how other things open up for guys like Dorsett, Hogan? You see what it's nice? You see what it's like when you only have to go to Josh Gordon maybe five times instead of forcing the ball 10 times to him?
I think Brady might have said, might have been across the street too, but he said he was glad Sony Michel chose to come back in the game after being injured or something to that effect. I don't know if he used the word chose, but I'm glad he decided to come back in the game. Something to that effect that he decided to come back in after he was injured.
Pretty good. A lot of messaging here. A lot of messaging.
Well, you know what?
Guys, play.
Okay. So, based on everything from last year and all the drama that was within that we have to sit here and pick it apart, you know, whether the tight end was healthy, at what point, you know, the interference with Alex Guerrero or on this player or that player, did they now have to get to a point where we've got to declare, here's what the injury is between our medical staff and this player, but at some point, Once the medical staff looks at it and thinks the guy could probably play, then it's on the player whether to play or not. Is that more definitive than other years now by using the word choice here? Chose to play. Glad he chose to come back into the game. Normally they say, you know, get on a bike, ride it, get back in here. Let's go. You good? Yeah, I'm good.
So you think
that's
there's
not
less,
choosing to play.
There's less pressure to play.
I mean, we checked you out.
Dwayne Allen played through that injury, right? And then he couldn't. Then he was out.
Dwayne Allen came back in the Tennessee game, continued to play.
Also, according to multiple tweets that we have received, Bedard said it on Felger and Mass last Tuesday as well, that his understanding is that Gronk has been choosing to play or not play. It's been up to him whether or not to play. And he's been choosing not to.
Wow.
Wow, that completely changes that Brady clip.
Can we play the Brady stuff again? We'll wait for it for him to play.
This guy is a... Hold on. Sorry.
We're under the weather. I get it.
Yeah. Everything's selling in here now. When Brady talks, he's very He's very pointed. He's very
deliberate,
aware of what word and what verbiage he uses.
He speaks with a purpose. Is that something he learned from Stedman? Did he learn that from Stedman?
I think he looked at Sony on the sideline. He said, hey, Sony, what would my good friend Stedman say? We keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward. No, it's Walt Disney, right? Did Disney say that? We'll keep moving forward.
Well,
yeah.
We keep playing football. Let's hear it. Let's hear this again. Brady,
it can definitely heal, but I would say, you know, my take on injuries is, you know, you're really susceptible every time you go out. You can go out, you could be a little nicked up, and if you get hit again, it could make it worse. But the reality is you could wait for it to get fully healthy and then go out and take a hit and get hurt again. Really, you know, if I can play, you know, that's what I'm going to always prefer to do, and that's what I've always done, realizing that there are risks that come with playing when you're not fully healthy or things aren't fully healed, but you know, that's just part of the nature of the game. And I think in many ways it would hurt me more to not be playing and watching than it would be to dealing with whatever I'm dealing with. So, you know, I love making the choice to play, and I'm glad we got a win against really a division rival. And playing in New York and winning there is always important for our team. So it's just a great team win.
Okay. I mean, it's not, you can't get any more clear than that. I'm glad I made the choice to play.
He said you can get fully healthy and then just get hurt again. So what's the point of getting fully healthy?
You could play being slightly nicked up, and that slightly nicked up could increase to a higher or a worse or become a worse of an injury. Yeah, you could hurt it, or you could be completely healthy, get in there, and just screw it up again. So he's like, why not? Hey, if they deem that I'm okay to play, then I should play.
As long as they allow me to play, I'm going to play.
I should always play. Always elect to play. I mean,
wow. That is something.
You know, at some point, Tom, too, if you could pull up Belichick from his post game right away when he took to the podium, I thought he went right at that. Like about the Knicks and we're fighting through some stuff here and you know, guys have been sick and yeah, it's crappy. It's crappy to go out there and play and hit and your joints and your achy and all that.
You guys want to hear what Bedard said on Felger Matt?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Bedard.
The way I hear it, basically, whether he plays or not on Sunday is his call now. It has been.
It has been?
Mm-hmm. That
so,
he's
so, I mean, so he wait, traveled to Nashville.
Hold on.
You heard that he's been cleared by the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't make it.
See what I just did? I just put that through the processor. I just tightened that take up.
I wouldn't
for
make
you.
It that cut and dry. Well, I think maybe his health is so iffy that the doctors are like, well, you know, Rob, you could play. You could not play. It's sort of your call how you feel that day or towards the end of the week, that sort of thing.
So, but I'm sorry, but the way I put it is I think the way to have the doctors cleared him, and it's really up to him. I mean, the doctor clear you, he clears you or they don't, right? Or you're saying it's a little more gray than that?
I think it's more gray.
You
but
do.
You'll make it black and white. I know you will.
So there you go. So
I don't think it's wrong to make it black and white.
I think Greg wants to get it out there.
The doctors are not preventing you from playing. They leave it in your hands. You're clear to go, but if you don't want to go, you don't have to. Yeah, he's been cleared. He's been cleared to play.
But what's weird...
If you can choose, if they leave it up to you and you say, I'm going to play, you were cleared, obviously.
Like, I was shocked he traveled because I thought it was Schefter that had the report that he wasn't going to play. Proud of us getting on that damn plane.
Yeah,
like... On Saturday.
Okay.
And I thought it was weird that I saw him. Like, whoa, what's he doing? Schefter rolled him out. Like, if Schefter's got that, that's like right from the mouth.
Right.
I mean... Is there a new directive here regarding injuries?
Play through injuries. Well, let's tidy all of this up. And
it's football. You're nicked up. Well, we look at it. You could play. You're not going to hurt it any worse. It's up to you whether you want to play or not.
I think this makes something really obvious about this team.
The word choice.
We need to talk about it. We need to talk about what has become painfully, literally painfully obvious about this team going into the playoffs. We'll talk about that coming up next after these headlines with Hardy back in the Town Fair Tire Studios.
You know, we played, this is our 12th game, so, you know, we battled through a lot of our 11 games. What is it? I'm losing count. 11 games. So, look, at this point in the season, everybody's got, you know, bumps, bruises. We've had the, you know, colds and, you know, flu symptoms and stuff like that for the last month or so. So, I mean, it's football season. Everybody goes through that. You just got to grind through it and, you know. Sometimes it gets one or two players, and then they come back, and it gets somebody else, and they come back. But look, every team in the league is going through that, so we just got to So you got to suck it up and fight through it. And our guys do a good job of that. They fight through, don't make excuses, and just try to show up and do their best. So I really respect. That's what we need to do.
That's Bill Belichick right out of the gate after the game, talking about his team playing through things. You know what this all means? They absolutely need a bye. They can't play on wild card weekend. They got no shot.
There's a coach telling
you. Playing on wild card weekend.
He's laying it out for you, what they're dealing with, and this is coming off a bye. That's coming off a bye. Like, you just took days off. You got away from football. They had a long stretches to where they were able to get away from it a little bit, and we're still beat up, or we're still not on the same page yet. We're still not at full go, all hands on deck.
You know, we sort of asked this question just based out of how good we thought the team was going back, I don't know, a month when we're talking about this. I think it's so obvious now that they've got no opportunity to go as far as they'd like to without having that bye. They need it more now than ever for health. Brady needs it.
I think it's for your mental well-being. Yes.
Brady's dealing with really three different injuries right now that we know of.
Multiple things.
Three that we know of.
Yeah.
I'll count both knees plus the hand. Right?
Yeah.
Who knows what else it could be?
Sick.
You never know at this time of year.
That throw that in.
We didn't know about the right knee. We're counting that right knee because we saw it on TV. Because we got lucky. We saw a little something. Mike is in New Bedford today. What's up, Mike?
Hi. I just wanted to touch on the... Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. You?
I just wanted to touch on the Belichick and Brady thing about the being injured and playing through it. I think that's very bold for Brady to say. I mean, new quarterback laws, and he does have protection. I think Gronkowski needs to rest it out. I think that would be the wise thing. Saving for playoffs. I don't see anybody else in the division taking a jump ahead. And like I said, Brady's out there. He drops back and he passes. People are playing coverage. They know if they leave a window open, he can find it. He's that guy. Gronkowski goes out there. People are trying to kill him. He gets called out by a different safety, a different linebacker almost every week. And like I said, these guys, if they're not trying to hit him when he gets the ball, they're trying to block him low. They're going to hurt the man. So, yeah, that's just my touch on it. That's just how I feel.
All right. I don't think that Brady's out of line, though, to say it just because he's a quarterback. I don't buy that. He took hits on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You saw him take hits. You saw him take some late hits.
He got
crushed, play, by the way. He got crushed on the throw to Gronkowski, didn't he?
Yeah, the one to Edelman, too. I thought that two of his best throws of the days of the day were when he got hit the hardest. Yeah, Gronkowski and Edelman. A deep out to Edelman on the left side. I thought it was his best throw of the day. Under duress, guys coming in his face from the left. Nobody blocked him. You know, full-blown rusher. Sits in there, takes the hit. I think that's the play he actually hurt the thumb on. So, he's dealing with a lot of crap. But, you know, I think it's good, again, that you got Mason and Cannon back up front. Mason and Cannon is going to help settle things down, and you can see it started that and that. And it's something that they were building on from an identity standpoint. You got to be able to run a damn football this time of year. And whether you like Sony Michel or not, he's your back. Burkhead got activated today, probably going to play this week. So you're going to have a nice little 1-2 punch of Burkhead and Michelle between the tackles with James White strictly focusing on being a third down guy.
We should probably play that last clip. We got sidetracked by that second clip of Brady and Jim Gray about the knee. He talks about trying to play through the injuries. It probably ties in perfectly to what we're talking about.
All right, let's play it.
And I know you want to be on the field and you don't want to hurt your team, but is your performance impaired because of the injury? In other words, if you throw a ball 5 or 10 yards short, or if you can't avoid the pressure, does it affect your play?
I think naturally you would say yes, just because, you know, that's just the nature of it. You'd love to always be 100%. The reality is that's rarely the case. I mean, you may be a little less than that. Maybe you're 98%. Maybe you're 70%. And if you're 70%, you know, it's absolutely there's certain things that can bother you a little bit. If you're, you know, just a little less than 100%, probably not. But, you know, that's, again, it's just, as a veteran player, I've been dealing with a lot of things over the course of a long career, and I'm pretty in tune with my body. I work pretty hard at it. Sometimes you have to adjust a little bit. I think there's a few things I had to adjust yesterday, but I'm glad we came out of it with a win, and I'm excited to get back out there and go again next week.
few things I had to adjust yesterday.
What do you adjust?
I'd love to know.
Doesn't it sound like he was closer to the 70% and not the just under 100%?
Yeah.
Well, that's questionable.
That makes it sound like the questionable was legitimate. Was legit.
That makes me feel better.
That Friday, that the speculation, you know, that he may not play was okay to say that.
I thought he double whacked that. I thought he double wrenched that knee. I thought on the pass that he caught, you know, backed himself on the Titan game.
So
he's out there lumbering. The knee, left knee stuck and bowed, and then Woodyard came into the side and hit it once he was on the ground.
You know, there was like this expectation that Gronk had to start out of the bye, right? Oh, you're going to get Gronk back. Did Gronk get to a point where he said, I have to come back now because look at what Brady's playing through? I can't continue to not play. Was that why that was so easy to schedule? Because after he sat in the Tennessee game, he's like, I can't do that again. I gotta play the next game.
Well, especially since Dwayne Allen's out now.
Yeah, is that how we knew it was so clear? Dwayne Allen goes down, and then Brady's playing through this, and he's like, well, I can't. There's no way I can sit again. I'll be back after the bye.
They do have.
And that's why it was so clear. It was made so clear to everyone that he'd be back after the bye. There was no doubt. Oh, Gronk's coming back after the bye.
It's interesting. Brady throws it out there too. This is injury, not age. This is an injury thing. I'm not winding down here.
See, and you
this
know
is
what?
An injury thing.
I think they're one and the same.
And is there more?
I think injury and age go hand in hand. That's what happens, guys. Guys don't quit because they get old. They quit because they're more prone and susceptible to injury as they get older. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm old. I can't do it anymore. Well, your body starts to break down as you get older. And you've been doing it for so long. Because it's another year of wear and tear on your body. Like, they go hand in hand. So, you can't really say that. But we've never heard him say that he plays through it before. We've never heard him talk about it, making adjustments to be able to play. Or that he chooses to play.
You know, it's interesting, too. So, Gray gets, what, 5 questions? Pretty much.
I think probably it's more than that.
Maybe
like 7. But 7 or 8.
Don't you think Tom's got to give the blessing on the questions?
No.
I disagree. I think he knows which questions are coming. Hey, why don't you ask this? Or maybe he texts or emails him. Ask about the knee.
Gray asks good questions. He might be corny, but he asks good questions pretty much for the most part.
Well, that's always
been his. He asks the tough questions.
He's very direct, and he doesn't beat around the bush. That's when Gray had his fastball. It was all, we're not pulling any punches like the Pete Rose interview.
Pete Rose.
Right to it, man.
Loved it.
Right to it.
Pete?
Sometimes it's a corny setup, but he asks the questions.
You know who does that too? Rosenthal. Rosenthal's sort of the same way.
617-779-0985. Let's talk some hockey with Billy Jaffe, shall we?
Sure.
You want to do that? Do that coming up next. We'll also talk to Sean Grandy coming up at 11:20. It's Zolak and Bertrand live from Gillette Stadium today.
High slot, Krejci. Fires just wide. Rebound swatted over to the far side. Tavares gets there, and he'll saucer it out. Open net for Zach Hyman. He'll skate it in and dump it home. An empty netter. And the Maple Leafs with a 4-2 lead over the Bruins.
Talking about the Bruins, we welcome in Billy Jaffe of Nesson, pregame, postgame coverage, also on NHL Network. What's up, Billy?
What's up, fellas? What's going on today? Hi, Zo. I heard you the other day on the radio a little bit during that Pats game. Yeah, I don't know if you sounded well. You were kind of like almost pissed off slash, you know, lamenting some things, bored a little bit. You were a mixture of everything in that game.
Well, I wasn't bored. Yeah,
not bored. You were just getting an edge to you. You had an edge, you know, almost good. Like, come on, are you kidding me? That type of thing.
Good. Glad it transmitted that way. That's how I felt.
Good.
Billy, Bruins lose to the Maple Leafs. Kevin Miller goes down with this, like, one of those scary injuries. Got a puck right to the throat, but it sounds like he's going to be okay, right?
Sounds like he's going to be all right. I mean, we've gotten very limited information. You know, there were rumors during the game, Beetle, that he had been taken away. They did come to be true. The Bruins didn't confirm that till post game, for obvious reasons. You want to, you know, anyways, make sure. But you know, it's just one of those things. You know, Malcolm Subban got hit in the throat in warm up a couple of years ago and broke his larynx. That's the first thing you think about, the Adam's apple. You know, that it can be life-threatening. I mean, obviously, it can be. So you take all necessary precaution. But everything that we've heard is that it feels like he's going to be okay, and there's a chance, emphasis on chance, Beetle, he could play on Thursday.
How do you fix that? Put a couple splints in there or something?
Yeah, I don't. How do you fix that? That just sounds terrible.
I think you make sure that nothing is fractured, and then I don't think there. I think there's more of a, you just time lets it heal. I don't think there's a cast you can put on your larynx.
Like, I'm filling mine right now. Like, is that bone or is that cartilage?
I think it's cartilage, but I had a hard time passing, sophomore in high school. Science class. I don't know.
But prior to last night's game, for the loss out of it, this team was on a pretty hot stretch here, given, dealing with all these injuries, and you're waiting for, like, what's the next one could fall, or who's the next guy that goes down. They were on a nice run there.
They're awesome last night. I really did. I mean, their effort the last two games, Zoe, has been beautiful. You want to talk about playing for each other. And it's a hard thing. It's an easy thing to say. It's sometimes a hard thing to do, especially in an 82-game regular season, in the sense of you can't do it every game. I feel like their last few games, this team has really played for each other. They have left it all on the ice in every game. They were in a wonderfully nasty, competitive Montreal game, and then I thought it was an exciting, not perfect, but so what? Mistakes happen. I thought it was an exciting, well-played, intense hockey game last night in Toronto. Then the Bruins with their makeshift defense. These kids have got their antennas up, no question about it. They're playing well, and they're not going to be denied right now, and I like that. That means that they're in it all. They're all vested in it.
Billy, I thought even, you talk about the effort is good, but it sort of felt frustrating, like there was a lack of finish because they had scoring opportunities in the game.
You're absolutely right. David Backes, who's looked really actually pretty good the last couple of games. He's had a nice little resurgence. He had two that actually didn't hit the net, Beetle. He had a bunch of other shots on goal. I think he had five missed shots in the game. Two of the prime ones, it's not that he means it, but he misses. They go over the net. I mean, he's trying to roof it because Anderson has covered the bottom part of the net. There was some other finish. But let's not forget, Beetle, three or four posts last night, too. So that's not finishing. That's maybe a little bit bad luck. Or I guess the glass half empty guy would say, well, they should have put it half a centimeter to the inside. But you're right. I mean, I'd love to see Danton Heinen score. I'd love to see him get going. He's one of the players that hit the post. It's great to see Pastrnak score because I know that he was frustrated a bit and probably wasn't working hard enough at times too. And I did not like what he did on that first goal, and he didn't like it either. You could tell that he was soft getting the puck out on the first Toronto goal, so he tried to remedy that and come back, pay for it. But I'd like to see a little more finish. No question about it.
How's Rask looked to you now, just being around him, since the so-called issue,
Very good. Focused, determined, confident. He seems to have, whatever it is, I'm not saying flushed it away, but I think he's been able to compartmentalize it and put it to the side. It's no different than anybody else that goes through anything else at work. You've got to figure out your personal life so it doesn't impact your work life, right? And vice versa. And he seems to have been able to do that in the short term, at least. On the ice, though, his movements have been much more eye-pleasing. They've been much more fluid and less movement, actually. He hasn't been moving as much, especially outside the crease.
Talking with Billy Jaffe of Nesson. Billy, this team, do we think we found maybe an identity of this team early on? Has that sort of been developed despite all the injuries that they've dealt with, despite the back and forth with the goalie situation with Tuukka, taking his leave, and Halak, the way that he's sort of stepped up at times? Do they have their identity yet?
That's a good question, Beetle. I don't know. They seem to have found a... It's almost like these injuries, maybe the Tuukka thing, I can't speak to that as much, but it seems to have had a galvanizing force around the team, kind of a bit of a I'll show you mentality. I think it speaks volumes that they have some good young talent. Let's not get, carried away, but Lauzon on defense, Clifton on defense have been really good in the short term. They've been wonderful in their fill-in abilities, and that speaks well, or that bodes well for the future. But I think with regard to their identity, they have no other choice to work hard. If they weren't working hard right now, Beetle, I'd be very concerned. very, very concerned, because if they thought they'd get by just on talent alone, despite all the guys that they were missing, then I think that we'd be having a real conversation about what this team, you know, needs, and that would be a real legitimate kind of look at themselves. They seem to have done that, and in some ways, Beadle, it's galvanized them. Can they sustain it over the long term, Bud? That's the question. You know, can they get through December to January 1 or the first week of January to where they're still, okay, it's not going to be easy, but to where they're still legitimately in it? Whether they're actually in a playoff spot or a point or two out, who cares? But if they're legitimately in it, that's going to be the, if they have an identity, Bud, and they can keep the work ethic up, then yeah, I would say they have found it.
Yeah, I think they've got like 16 games between now and the new year.
Now it's either 15 or 16 now, and yeah, they're pretty much split half and half. You're right. And can they get, we said this at eight, I think we said it last week when they had 18 or 19 games. Can they get 500? Can they get, you know, out of a possible 36 points, can they get 18 to 20 points and stay in the thick of it? The big difference this year, Beadle, it would have been fine last year, but this year Montreal is better. I don't think they're great, but the other team is Buffalo. All of a sudden, Buffalo's winning, and it could throw a wrench into things, because now that means that the Bruins, instead of hovering in that third spot, could be in the fourth, fifth spot in the Atlantic Division.
Real quick, last one for you. Wasn't there something screwy with the schedule around the Winter Classic? And they're back in the Winter Classic this year, going back to, was it 2 years ago? Where they had a ton of games. Didn't they try and squeeze a ton of games in? And it was kind of
Well, no, that was also because of the Olympic break.
Oh, that's right.
Was the Olympic break, yeah. And then it was also because of the teams this year. Again, like last year, every team has a mandatory 5-day holiday break.
Yep.
The Bruins this year in late January, fellas, have 8 or 9 days off in between games, between the All-Star break and then their 5-day mandatory time off. It's odd. So they're trying to still jam games in. It's, you know, this is a nice little 3-day holiday. I call it holiday. It's just a break is all it is, as they get set for Thursday, which, by the way, is Nifty night. Remember that. He gets his number retired there, which will be awesome. But anyways, this is just a little break. They need it right now. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Appreciate your time, Billy. Talk to you again soon.
See you, guys. Nice talking to you.
All right. Billy Jaffe from Nesson joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We'll get back to both the Celtics and the Patriots, and we will talk to Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, coming up at 11:20. No commercials here, just Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.